This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Next to last day of the year, and we are appreciative of our signature's support for our Talk Louisiana coming from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and from Vantage Health Plan. 877-217-5757. And time is running out to support your source for accurate reporting and engaging conversation. Right now, a member of WRKF Circle of Friends is matching contributions dollar for dollar. On top of that, WRKF will receive $1,000 from the member Lanyap Fund if we receive 10 donations in any amount during this show this morning. So we need to hear from you to keep the trains rolling. 855-893-9753, and this will be the final hour of fundraising for 2020, and it's been a year that's challenged many nonprofits, as you would expect. In an era like this, we have had few events, if any, and WRKF has the good fortune of being on the air, but nonetheless, times are tough, and people are sometimes strapped for resources to contribute to their favorite nonprofits, and if you can do it, we would like to hear from you. And the taxpayers who don't itemize deductions are able to take a charitable deduction of up to $300 for cash contributions made by December 31st as of tomorrow to qualifying organizations. And WRKF is a 501c3, so it is a organization that is eligible for a tax-deductible contribution of $300, $600 for couples filing jointly. 855-893-9753. We start with Lanny Keller, chief editorial writer for The Advocate. And it is a sad day because a young man on the move in a hurry, Luke Letlow, age 41, recently elected in a landslide to the 5th congressional seat, died yesterday at Oxner at LSU Shreveport from complications of COVID-19. He's 41 years old, and you knew him well, Lanny Keller. This is a sad time.
It is terribly tragic. He died in the same week as Vic Stelly, although Vic was twice his age. But Vic Stelly and from Lake Charles and Luke from North Louisiana were similarly smart, engaging in public life for the right reasons, and you couldn't help but like them. And those kind of remarkable personalities don't come along every day, and it has been very tough. What can you say? That this is in hands higher than ours.
You've known him for a long time.
Well, since like many people in politics, he was very deeply involved with the. With then Congressman Bobby Jindal as a young man. And so, yes, 17 or 18 years.
At 41, obviously he could have gone a lot of places in Louisiana politics, perhaps to the governorship. He would have been the youngest member of our delegation. And
he was chief of staff to Ralph Abraham,
right,
who was a mentor and more a second father, another father than a boss. And so he had served the district with great, he served his people will miss him even if they did not know him, because, he was so good and effective, as chief of staff for Ralph Abraham. And, that is a district that includes some of the poorest counties in the U.S., some of those parishes in the Delta.
The poorest.
And they desperately need a congressman who is engaged and active in that way. And Luke, even if he had no ambition to go anywhere else in politics, he could have served for 30 years and done extraordinary things for the state.
And it's somewhat analogous to Earl Kemp Long, who died in 1960 after being elected to Congress.
I don't think Luke appreciates that comparison.
He was about to be a congressman, Earl Long was, and he died on September 5, 1960, at age 65. He was a generation older than Luke Letlow, but he had been a three-term governor of Louisiana.
The story goes that he would refuse to go to the hospital because he didn't want to affright the voters on Election Day.
Well, Paul Newman played him memorably in the movie Blaze in 1989, And to put that in perspective, that's 31 years ago. Luke Letlow was a young man of 10 years old when that movie came out. Mm-hmm. And here he is at 41, and he's dead and appeared to be recovering from this. And that shows the treacherous nature of this condition, is that it can turn and take people out at a young age, and 41 is much too young to go.
Well, we made a reference to it editorially, saying that, you know, that this is a very young man who happens to the old, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is a treacherous
disease. It shows that
and the impact of it is utterly unpredictable, even as much as people have learned about it in this dreadful year of 2020.
Well, by the time Joe Biden takes the oath of office for president 3 weeks from today, 400,000 Americans will be dead from coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And that number is going to go up probably when we reach the one-year mark in March to a 500,000 Americans mm-hmm. dead of COVID-19. And even though there is a vaccine, as we know, Lanny, some people are saying, I won't take it. And then others are probably not, they may not have an aversion to vaccines. They just won't have access in time. So the next few months are not going to be pleasant.
We have, and again, the reference to Luke, although it was helpful at that time in our editorial, was to underline the fact that we still have to do the masks and all the other things that the doctors recommend, because and as Governor John Bel Edwards has rightly observed, you just can't give up on it now. And as you point out, there's just not a guarantee that anyone will have the vaccines in time to curb this, unless people do the right things. And you know, it's been tough. The Advocate is a small business, although larger than some. We've been very aware of the impact of this on small businesses. And at the same time, and we've gotten a lot of pushback, a lot of flack, a lot of heartburn, even internally sometimes, discussing these things. It is, we have supported the governor's restrictions even when they bite, because we felt that was in the long-term best interest. I'd say long-term is another 6 months, 8 months for us wrestling with this.
Well, the governor, I remember in his first Ask the Governor show in March, after this all came to a head, he said a year and a half, and that's probably about right. It'll mm-hmm. probably be the fall before we're clear, and in that case, we're still going to have people getting this, but we won't have the numbers that are involved, and right now, it's not, just not going to be a good year early on, and we know it, and the best thing to do is to take precautions, and Luke Letlow in death sets an example of how vulnerable people are, because at 41, with no apparent health mm-hmm. risks, he is gone. And that shows that under certain circumstances, anybody is vulnerable.
Well, and, it's been a week of loss for those of us who are old-timers. Remember Vic Stelling in the legislature. And, of course, he was the author of the most significant tax reform in memory in Louisiana.
One that was successful.
Indeed. Ultimately successful, but people don't remember that it took a long time for him to build the coalition and get Governor Mike Foster on board at that time.
And it took a short time to do away with it.
It took a very short time because politicians' memories are short. And we are still living with the consequences of reducing of rolling back the income tax portions of Stelly's tax plan. But when Vic died, of course, our reporter Paul Cobbler did a terrific story about the 60-year love affair with Vic and Terry, many people they were inseparable. That doesn't begin to express that, and they died. Very close to each other within hours.
Hours.
And that in itself was noteworthy, and praiseworthy, I guess. But we're still living with the consequences of the repeal of the income tax portions of the Stelly plan.
And
there's talk of tax reform in the state capitol. And I don't know if Vic Stelly's commitment to keeping the state whole, which was part of what he wanted to do, is widely shared. If tax reform becomes another round of tax cuts at a time when revenues are falling, then the state will be worse off because of this example.
855-893-9753 is the WRKF number. If we get 10 donations this hour, we'll get $1,000 in Lanyap, and we want that to happen. And we'd like to hear from you on the other side with Lanny, 877-217-5757. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And a reminder again that this is the final hour of fundraising for 2020 for WRKF, and we need 10 contributions this hour for Talk Louisiana to reach our goal, and also to get a $1,000 Lanyap. 877-217-5757 to talk with us on the air, and 855-893-9753 to make your contribution. Some emails have come in at talk@talklouisiana.org. Here's Jabari Robinson in Memphis saying, "The loss of such a young and promising life is a tragedy and transcends party affiliation. Best hopes for serenity and comfort for his family in this dark time. Luke Ledlow was 41. He is survived by his wife, Julie, and two young children. And it was a family right out of central casting, and then boom, it's gone. And there will be a special election," which is another question from Tracy at the Capitol about the logistics of this. "The governor will set the date, I presume, and that date you would think would come very soon."
There's a regular special election date in third week of March, I believe, and with the runoff in April, if needed. I don't know if there's timing wise that would work out. But if it did, that would be very quick. You would think that some of the people who ran last time might tee it up again. I don't know if Representative Harris of Alexandria, having been crushed in the runoff, would be considered a viable candidate. You know, Congressman Abraham said he would only serve three terms. I mean, under these circumstances, would he reconsider and run again? I don't know.
He's been missing a lot of votes, which is very sad.
And part of it, and part of it was because of Luke's illness, too. So there are, you know, those political machinations, I'm sure, are already underway.
All right, 877-217-5757 and talk@talklouisiana.org for the chief editorial writer for The Advocate, Lanny Keller. And the newspaper is out every day of the year, and there's an editorial in every edition, sometimes two. How many of those do you write, Lanny? Do you write most of them?
Probably, although I'm more of an editorial bureaucrat now, so I don't get to write as much as I would like. And so we kind of parcel some of those out. So my colleagues like Stephanie Grace and Will Sutton and Ken Stickney sometimes and Peter Kovacs will throw in some from day to day. It's kind of a treadmill.
Well,
as you well know, in this kind of line of work, Jim.
Well, in the blogosphere, the Advocate editorial page is sometimes referred to being left of center, and in Louisiana, it doesn't take much to be
Bolshevik
considered left of center. But Lanny, for those unaware, started his career as a political operative on the right side of the political spectrum.
Well, I started as a journalist, but in those days, if you had
to work for David Connor Treen.
Indeed, if you were going to be a press secretary in those days, you needed media experience. Nowadays, it's just political affiliation has superseded such minor issues as qualifications.
But for Lanny to be considered a socialist is well, yeah, you can hear his laugh. It is a bit laughable, but that shows you where some people are in on the World Wide Web. 877-217-5757. Chad and Baker. Chad, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Lanny. It truly was a tragedy to wake up and to hear the loss of the future congressman, as well as the state representative. My question is, will this be a wake-up call for Mr. Stelly's colleagues and some of the other people in the state house, as well as the attorney general, if they would stop and just reflect on what just happened, and would they really support the governor? That's my question, given that this tragedy has taken place, and stop making this public health crisis a political fight.
All right. What about the wake-up call for Jeff Landry? Is that possible?
I think that that phone's been ringing for some time since he himself had coronavirus, and the call hasn't been picked up yet. This ought to be a tremendous wake-up call for people. And again, to me, for those of us who had the privilege of knowing both young Luke and Vic Stelly from the old days, you know that this is really a tough. This ought to be a tough example. I know I haven't been as careful as I should be, even though I've tried to be. And you know, all of us, this is a. And again, maybe call me a socialist if you will, but this is a communal obligation that we have to each other. And that is not popular nowadays. There are many people who say that this is Chad is the threat to their liberties. Well, you know, I think that's call me a socialist, but I think that's silly.
Thank you, Chad. 877-217-5757, Patrick in Ennis-Wald Estates. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana with Lanny Keller. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, I got to make a comment. You know, I was watching this documentary on the Yorkshire Ripper, and I'm going to get to my point here real quick. But, you know, they put these curfews on women because they were getting killed by the serial killer, and a lot of women got upset about the fact that their liberty you know, was being violated. And I get it that COVID kills people. But at the same time, you can't just take people's liberty and restrict them on what they can and cannot do.
I think that's a healthy argument. Everybody has been having for some considerable time. But in cases of public health, isn't that the overriding concern? I don't think anybody sees this as a healthy precedent, and we'll probably look back and say the governor should have done this or the president should have done that. History will teach us some lessons, but this is probably not the last time we shall see something like this.
877-217-5757, your Talk Louisiana number. Deborah in the Garden District. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. My question is, why is it that the advocate is reporting a lower number of COVID cases every day than the official published numbers from the government,
All right. Is that accurate?
Short answer, I don't know. It's my understanding that our reporters deal directly with the Louisiana Department of Health every day. And Jeff Adelson from our staff, I think, has been doing it. But again, I'm not on that side of the newspaper. But it's my understanding that of course, there's always been a certain amount of wobble in the numbers because of which cases are reported, which cases are tested. But you know, positivity, all these words that we've had to learn. But I don't. The newspaper makes every effort to get it right every day.
Thank you, Deborah. John in Livingston. Hi, John.
Good morning. Your last caller made a comment about restriction of individual liberties. And I guess the struggle that I have is that it seems that most of the folks who rail against masking, social distancing, and so forth are the very ones that want to put very serious restrictions on women as far as abortions.
All right.
And again, another dimension of our of our endless American debate over what comes first.
Well, and there are contradictions. Last week, the bishop, a fine man, by the way, and a dedicated servant of the Lord, Bishop Michael Duca, he said he didn't know if he would give Joe Biden communion because of his stand on abortion rights. But a listener made a good point. What about these politicians who are for the death penalty? Mm-hmm. Should they be denied communion as well?
Indeed.
Where do we draw the line? And believe it or not, people in all places, including the clergy, engage occasionally in hypocrisy.
The cases of integrity are so rare in politics. It's like a virus. It hits us hard because we're not used to it.
877-217-5757, your number. Please call 855-893-9753 if you're so inclined to make your year-end contribution to WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. A bit more time with Lanny Keller, a remarkable writer who also is an editor. He's the cop on the editorial page of the Advocate who decides what should go and what shouldn't. And I have to say, the Advocate has gone the extra mile to have various points of view. And through the years, depending on your point of view, if you're from the left side of the spectrum, you probably think the Advocate tilts right. And if you're from the right side, you believe it tilts left. And that's probably the way it should be.
One of my tasks every day is to make sure that we have a conservative column and a liberal column on the page, including our national columnists like Rich Lowry or George Will, mm-hmm. or those with whom readers are familiar. Sometimes it's a struggle because Donald John Trump has upended everything in politics, as you know, and as a result, we sometimes get criticized if our conservatives are not pro-Trump and our liberals are viciously anti. So,
all right. Well, Donald John Trump will be leaving office in 3 weeks. It should be quite an event on January 20th, and before Lanny leaves, we'll get his take. But I did want to note that we now have, 25 minutes to get the 10 contributions we need this hour to receive the $1,000 in Lanyap money from the RKF Fund. And we want to thank the people who have contributed this morning, Chandler Cornett, Sedera August, Marianne Fisher Giolando, and Patricia Toops. So we're six away from earning the $1,000 bonus. And the dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. So please give us a call, 855-893-9753. And I have my WRKF mask here. And for a $100 contribution, and this is less than the usual ask, you can get the mask and the socks, when you'll be in style, too, and show your support for a great entity. 40 years of service to our community, 855-893-9753. And last night I noted that in those 40 years there have been 9 LSU football coaches, and there have been 5 station managers. And you go down the list, 6 Baton Rouge mayors, and when Joe Biden takes the office, 8 U.S. presidents who have been in office since WRKF began its journey on January 18, 1980, 40 years, almost 41 years, and we'd like to say here's to the next 40, 855-893-9753. And Lanny, we should talk with you more often. I think this is the first time this year, 2 days away from the end of 2020. And Donald Trump is the gift that just keeps on giving. he manages to he stirs the pot. And I suspect he will try to do that when he leaves office. What do you think life without him will be like?
Well, for one thing, I don't think life will be without him because remember that he lost the last election, again, by a hair in many states. But that's how he got elected in the first place. But he increased his vote in 2020. His hold upon the electorate and especially the GOP base is still, I think, very substantial. The notion that he is going to fade away into a Twitter storm of irrelevance is fantasy, I think. many in the party, I suspect, will be happy to see the back of him as president. Just look at the veto threats and the actual veto that they now had to override on the military spending bill. Those kind of erratic actions put the party into major league heartburn.
877-217-5757. A few more minutes with Lanny. Let's go to Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil. You're on with Lanny.
Yeah. Hello, gentlemen. Happy New Year. I think the people who want to have their freedom so dear to them should be required to sign a waiver when they do get sick. Because really, people will spend months and thousands of dollars dealing with this. It is really a deadly disease, and these people are idiots.
All right. Well, Phil,
I think many of them are idiots. Well, there are people who feel very principled about it, and I don't believe those should be lightly dismissed.
Well, Lanny, always good to catch up with you and keep up your good work with The Advocate, and glad we have a paper here. We want to thank Mike Futrell, just five calls away from getting the extra $1,000. Mike Futrell, good friend of mine, and thank you for your contribution. And Tom Aswell has entered the studio with a flourish and with a check, so we got to count Tom. So
okay, I have to since Chad Cornett and Mike and others and Aswell's embarrassed me. Put me in for one too.
Okay, well, Annie, so we're getting closer and closer to our goal. And we'd like to get to 10, and we've got 21 minutes to go, 855-893-9753. I think Charles in Jefferson Terrace had a question for you, Lanny. So before
sure.
you leave, Charles, what's on your mind? And Tom, you come to the microphone, too. So we've got
Well,
go ahead.
I'm more concerned about the public health crisis we have in Baton Rouge with, 120 or so murders this year and about three or four times that many shootings. How about if we focus on that as well as the COVID?
Indeed. And also the terrific impact of COVID among African-Americans in Louisiana has been much commented upon, too. There are a lot of health problems in Louisiana, too. And the notion that there is only one public health crisis in this city, in this state, is, of course, absurd, because we can look around and see every day in the newspaper incidences and evidences of that.
Thank you. Thanks again, Lanny. And Tom Aswell, with mask, is coming to the microphone, and he's going to take it off, and that's generally so we can hear you, which is important in radio. But Tom has a new book out, and we're going to talk about that, but he is a prolific writer. He's written about so many different topics, from Barry Seal to Louisiana music to Bobby Jindal.
No, I didn't write about Barry Seal. Dale Hahn wrote it. I edited the book.
Okay.
I didn't write it.
Okay, you don't want to take credit for it or blame, but you were there.
It's a very good book.
Yeah,
very
it's good a good book. I liked it a lot, The Life and Death of Barry Seal. But you're from Ruston, Louisiana, four tours of duty with the Ruston Daily Leader, correct?
That's correct.
And that's a fine newspaper. And these community newspapers, like the big ones, they've taken a hit.
They have. They really have. And it's unfortunate. I hate to see it. It's it's just one of those facts of life, you know, that comes along. You didn't see it coming. And all of a sudden, man, you look around and papers are folding up. The Bastrop Enterprise is folded. Mm-hmm. It's gone dark. The new star in Monroe is just a shadow of what it was when I worked there. Thank goodness that our paper here in Baton Rouge has maintained its level of excellence. Mm.
And years ago, you were an investigative reporter for the afternoon paper. Yes, there was an afternoon paper in Baton Rouge for almost a century, I guess.
I was,
And you were a reporter for the State Times. And that was a good newspaper.
Very good newspaper. I had an excellent editor, and he was what they would call a hard ass, Jim Hughes. But he knew his business. He was a perfectionist.
877-217-5757 for Tom Aswell of Louisiana Voice, and he hails from Lincoln Parish, Ruston, Louisiana. And it's interesting that President Lincoln, he got a parish, but There's no street in Baton Rouge, Lincoln. You go north of the LSU gates, and you got Buchanan number 15. It jumps right to Johnson number 17, but somehow they missed President number 16. I wonder what happened.
I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with the northern invasion.
But Lincoln has a parish named after him, and in Ruston, Louisiana, I think they still have the Dixie Theater, don't they?
They do still have the Dixie Theater. It's been completely refurbished. It's a fine building. It's very nice. They still hold events there.
Well, what do you think about these names like Dixie? Should they go by the wayside, or is that going overboard?
I have an aunt named Dixie. I do.
Well, this year they took the name off the LSU building, the library, and Lanny wrote an editorial against Troy Middleton, who fought in two wars for the United States. He did write a letter that is reprehensible.
And maybe I saw the letter.
But Edmund Kirby Smith, the tallest building on campus, is still around.
Yeah. And by the way, I was a supporter of General Middleton.
I know. You were a supporter. Yeah. You were against the removal of the name.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, and you could make a case for that. But if you're going to take Middleton off, then you got to get rid of Kirby Smith, don't you? He fought against the U.S.
You need some consistency, yeah.
But it's still there. But Ruston, Louisiana is a hotbed for athletics. But Fred Dean, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Burt Jones, NFL MVP.
J.R. Richard for the Astros.
Yeah. Thought he was from Vienna, Louisiana.
No, he's from Ruston,
Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a great pitcher and had a stroke in 1980.
That's correct.
And he would have been one of the all-time greats.
Ralph Garr,
National League batting champ, 1974. Yep. Andy Hamilton.
Yep, Andy Hamilton. Yeah.
Who has the record still for LSU receivers for most yards per catch with over 100 receptions.
He was a very prolific pass catcher. Very good.
And he had a younger brother. Was pretty good.
You just had to go there, didn't you, Jim? Yeah, he had a brother named Greg, who was an outstanding baseball player. He played first base for Louisiana Tech, made all-conference, and I think he played pro ball in Canada. And he also posed nude for Playgirl magazine in June of 1976.
My goodness. Can you imagine what it was like in Ruston? Did they try to get rid of those magazines?
Apoplexy. His father went around and bought up every issue, and the store simply restocked.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Greg Hamilton.
Yeah.
Playgirl magazine, June
Correct.
Of 76.
Full noodle frontity.
Full noodle frontity, or is that a few? Okay. 877-217-5757. We'll return after this brief timeout with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. The home stretch of 2020, one show to go after this one, and 13 minutes remaining in this hour to make your contribution, and we'd like to hear from you. Lanny Keller and Tom Aswell have joined, and we're, I think, three away from getting to the $1,000 goal, and this time of the year we generally don't ask for money, and it's only because we are short of our goal, and it's been a hellacious year, and you can make it much better by showing your support for a great treasure in the Baton Rouge community. We have listeners, as we know, from all over the country, and many of people who move away, they listen online, and they treasure the programming that you'll hear here and nowhere else. And thanks to Kay Wilson and Lewis and Sharon Gerken. So I think we're getting closer and closer, and that makes, I think, one away. So you could be the one if you give us a call, 855-893-9753. And 877-217-5757 for Tom Aswell of Louisiana Voice, Mitchell in Sherwood. Mitchell, good morning.
Good morning. I just say the guy that he fought for Middleton to stay on that building, that's racist. As long as we keep racism and these Jim Crow laws, it'll never be fair to the people that you're doing this to. We just want to be free in a righteous way and just treat us right.
All right, Mitchell, thank you. And I'm sure many concur with you. And I think a case can be made for anybody who's engaged in racist activities to have their names removed from the public square. But that would include a whole lot of people. Here's an interesting concept from a listener, and it may be tongue-in-cheek, but Holly in the Garden District says LSU should vie, since we're looking for a new library, vie to be the host of the Trump Presidential Library. What do you think, Tom Aswell?
No.
Why not?
he would have to come down here and dedicate it.
Well, that's reason enough. Talk about the foot traffic that would be generated. You know, the most damning things about Richard Nixon are in his library. It's an amazing place in Yorba Linda, California. If they did a library right with Trump, and it had the good, the bad, and the ugly, it would be quite a place.
It would be interesting. And the LBJ Library also has a lot of...
In Austin, Texas.
Yeah. Also has a lot of...
And the Clinton Library does not cover up the Lewinsky scandal either.
Correct. Well, they don't have control over what goes into those libraries.
They do have control over where it is.
Yeah.
And Trump is persona non grata in New York. In Manhattan, he got 10% of the vote twice. He's really not a Floridian, but he is an SEC guy because he carried 11 of 11 SEC states in 2016, 148 electoral votes. He carried 10 of 11 this time, 132 of his 232 came from the Southeastern Conference. And what university represents the SEC more than Louisiana State University?
That's correct. That's correct.
I think the Presidential Library for Donald John Trump, I agree with Holly in the Garden District, should be in the quadrangle at LSU.
Well, that would be interesting.
All right. 877-217-5757-4. Tom Aswell of Louisiana Voice. And you find stories about Tom and what he covers at Louisiana Voice that you truly will read nowhere else. And the aforementioned Mr. Keller, who sat next to you for a few minutes, said that he used to watch you in action at the Claiborne building. You'd be down there and people would just kind of drop things on your desk saying, or maybe not even saying anything, giving you the scoop on some stuff. Is that the way it happened?
Yeah, that was in the very early days of Louisiana Voice, which is coming up on its 10th anniversary, by the way. I started it just before I left the state, which kind of led to my early departure from the state.
You're still around?
Well, I'm a full retiree. I was vested. I'm drawing a pension.
Your retirement from state government,
yes.
Not your retirement from the state.
Right, the state government.
He's still around, and it's Louisiana Voice, and we encourage you to go there. But amid that, Tom is a remarkable writer, and he has written the definitive biography of Bobby Jindal. It's a very good book. It is a very good book. But, of course, it didn't get much promotion from Pelican Press, did it?
Well,
Pelican Publishing.
Here's the problem with it. If he had stayed in the presidential sweepstakes in Iowa and had polled any numbers at all, the book might have sold nationally. But he dropped out just before the book came out. So the book was dead on arrival.
Well, Bobby Jindal made all the wrong moves as governor. He allowed the Stelly bill to get to his desk.
Very unfortunate.
And then he was in a position, and I understand that as a conservative, he could not, on his first big act, veto a tax cut. So, and the Democrats helped some Republicans put him in this box, and one of those who voted for the end of Stelly was Governor John Bel Edwards when he was Representative Edwards. So that caused all this problem with the budget.
Huge mistake.
And then he spent 8 years running for president of the United States.
I interviewed Mr. Stelly on a number of occasions and wrote some stories about the Stelly bill, the wake of the Stelly bill. I consider that one of the biggest mistakes of the Jindal administration.
And I mentioned he spent 8 years running for president and listening to Grover Norquist, when if he had just governed from his heart, he would have probably been a successful governor and be remembered well, but that did not happen. And then, after he's getting his butt whipped by Donald Trump, he goes to the National Press Club in Washington and calls Donald Trump a carnival barker. And you can go online and see that. And that ended any chance that Bobby Jindal had as a potential cabinet secretary.
Yep.
So
yep.
All the wrong moves for Bobby Jindal, who next year will turn 50 years old. Can you believe that? Bobby Jindal will be 50.
You may not agree with me, Jim, but I wouldn't write him off as a future candidate.
Well, I think here's an opportunity for him. He could run in the 5th District. He could run to succeed.
Yeah, Kyle you Faber. Don't have to live in the
no,
district.
No, you don't, and he could probably win, and that might be the comeback for him.
Well, Louisiana's what beat him the first time he ran for governor, North Louisiana, I mean.
He went to every church and.
But after that, he did his homework.
He went to Andy Hamilton's church, I believe. Yeah, he went to every church. I think he could win that 5th district seat, and that would begin the comeback for Bobby Jindal.
Are you encouraging him?
I am. I think that I think he's a bright guy, and I believe in second acts. America loves comebacks.
Well, I suppose, but I don't agree with you.
And I might be saying some of it I may be saying tongue-in-cheek. But Tom has a vivid imagination. He was once a stand-up comic, as we have noted. And that imagination is in full display in Bordello on the Bayou. Tell us about Bordello on the Bayou.
Well, Bordello on the Bayou is the story of an unfortunate lady who was a legislative aide and started, several legislators came on to her, and she took them up on their offer and saw an opportunity and started a prostitution ring that grew into several states before she was finally arrested. And certain people, fearing the knowledge that she possessed, she was in danger, mm-hmm. Let's put it that way, and she winds up dead in her cell.
Well, it's a tour de force for fiction, and also for people who like Baton Rouge. Tell us about Jamal Lewis.
Jamal Lewis is a law student at Southern University, and he's a nephew of the lady's attorney. And he gets himself into a box. He gets severely beaten up before his uncle rescues him. I don't want to give away too much of the book, but he's a minor character in the book. Actually, he's not the major character. The prostitute, a reporter, and the attorney are the main characters.
And you like nonfiction? That's been your bailiwick for years. But you obviously are a fan of fiction, and you write well. Who were some of your inspirations through the years?
Oh, well, obviously, John Grisham. I think that's anybody that reads John Grisham. He's an easy read. James Lee Burke I found to be a little difficult, a little hard to read. Herman Melville's not one of my...
Moby Dick?
Moby Dick was one of the hardest books I ever read in my life. But I mainly enjoy nonfiction, but I do read novels. I don't have any one.
All right. Well, Bordello on the Bayou is your book. Where do we find it?
You can order them online from me. Go on to Louisiana Voice and order them online. The list price on the book is $25, but I'm asking people to give $30, and I will pay. I mean, if they order it online from me at $30, $5 of that goes to the Baton Rouge Food Bank.
Very good. Very good. And we have reached our goal thanks to the benevolence of our great listening audience,
Yay.
The most enlightened audience in radio, and also to our two guests today, Lanny Keller and Tom Aswell. But coming in at the finish line, and I know there are a few calls getting in but as we are parting, but Ori Marino, Jim and Elaine Taylor, Lois Foles, Melissa Peroya, T. Ritchie, Ian Thompson, Vern Clark, Shelley Dick. That's a federal judge.
A great
public servant. And
yes.
Martin McConnell, great guy from Ascension Parish, involved in government there, and always good to know that movers and shakers like Shelley Dick and Martin McConnell are
there
listening
you go.
To our show.
Yep.
So,
thank you very much.
And Gwen Pelagi says Jason Stagg. So we finished with a flourish. Tom Aswell, thank you, and Happy New Year to you, and remember Bordello on the Bayou. I'm into alliteration, too.
Thank you.
So we got the Trump Library, Jindal for Congress, and Bordello on the Bayou.
I want my face, my mask.
All right. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provides signature support. Back tomorrow for a year-end show. Until then, stay safe and stay tuned.